Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
My name is Aram Varti, and I am the Dungeon Master for God's Fallen. Welcome back for episode 34 as the party continues their arduous climb from within the Union's towering onyx walls. Before we start, I'd like to say a special thank you to Greg Tito from Wizards of the Coast, who asked us onto the official Dungeons & Dragons podcast. It was both a thrill and an honor. If you want to listen to that, we'll have a link posted in this episode on godsfall.com. And before we dive back into the Union, we have a very special announcement. BattleBards.com is live. BattleBards produces premium audio for all of your RPG tabletop needs, and they have been gracious enough to provide us with their entire sound catalog to be used in God's Fall. This week, we're going to focus on the amazing full speech tracks BattleBards offers to breathe some life into your NPCs. Like the sales pitch of an eager innkeeper.
Welcome, honored guests. Come in, unburden yourselves, and rest your weary feet upon our velvet-lined chairs.
A gruff sea captain.
If it's passage y'all be seeking, it won't be comfortable. Or cheap.
Elves, dwarves, and orcs.
Koalmin le duva yasen megrele.
Kazarai minu duvekar. Nigarakua.
Even a giant charging to attack. So if you want your game to sound as good as God's Fall, check out BattleBards.com. When we last left the players, Para had just barely escaped being sawed in two when Zion figured out his riddle at the last minute.
19 plus 3.
That will do it. So you guys sit there for a while and you're trying and you're thinking of ways and you're seeing that blade come ever closer to Para. And he just looks at you and he says, I'm sorry that you made
promise.
Yes. Exactly. And you shout promise, wow. And it lets go, and he leaps out of it just as the blade slides by, and the door opens, and it vanishes into the wall, and the bars in front of you lift up.
The players continued to the level above and found themselves in an overlapping series of passages cut through by large openings that were sealed by the same magical force that prevents Doro from teleporting through it. Things were going well until they got about halfway through.
You all hear a rumbling. You haven't triggered anything. Nothing's been pressured, nothing's gone down. You just hear a rumbling, and you guys see this center column of the pillar open up, a gigantic doorway open up, and a huge creature, clearly a giant, with the same dead gray skin, raise its eyes, let out a roar, pick up an axe, and begin charging.
Escaping just in time, the players began another arduous climb as their stairwell wrapped around the entirety of the Union a full three times until opening into a loud and wet room beyond.
The ceiling is thick with churning storm clouds, spitting occasional flashes of lightning that reveal a massive carving of the God of the Seas, his golden hands wrapped around the center column as if he was thrusting it into the eye of the whirlpool below. A strip of smoky glass with no visible supports bridges the gap to the central pillar, and a ring of similar glass that creates a narrow lip extends around the entire structure.
Excellent teamwork, led by a quick-thinking halfling, got the party quickly across this obstacle and to yet another stairwell that wound far above.
The next level takes another full 2 rings of stairs to ascend as the stones dry and the air grows warmer. The smell of grass fills your nose as the distant strikes of a blacksmith ring from the walls. When you finally emerge, though, you find yourself in an empty stone room as large as any of the others. The column is not there. It rises about halfway up and then it's just empty all the way to a ceiling. In its place is a board. There's a castle or a keep of some sort, a round tower surrounded by walls and a front defensive area. There's land and actual water as you look at it. The water is rolling back and forth as if it was waves, as if it was tiny little waves.
Inset into the pillar?
Right on the pillar, right. You have to kind of tiptoe, but it's right there. All around the...
I grabbed him up on my shoulders.
Yeah, and all... Right, exactly.
Yeah,
and
the dwarfling.
Now, at the edges, there's about a foot lip all around the edge before you get to this game piece in the center, and there are these tiny little figurines, much like the ones we have set in front of us now. And as you look carefully...
I flip the table.
You can't. It's just a giant pillar. You can't move it.
I teleport the pillar.
You can't do that.
I do.
It resists. So
I make it not resist.
Each of the little figurines... There's one that looks just like Zion. There's one that looks just like Torvik, like Serena. In fact, there's ones there for the entire crew you came down here with, including Caitlin.
I find mine.
Yours is right there.
I take it. Wow, look! There's like a toy of me!
Yeah, this somebody knew that we were coming.
We should play some sort of game with this, of magic and rolling of dice.
So this isn't like a hole in the ground where we see below.
This is like a like Reddit chest level. They're like the pillar comes up and then just stops and there's none above it. Right. You came in here, it closed up behind you, and there's no other way out.
Where is my character?
Right on the table, right in front of you.
Yeah, but I mean like on the thing.
So they're all on the lip of this thing. They're all kind of like scattered throughout
the
lip.
So they were not on the actual table.
Correct.
Okay.
So I want to take mine and I put it on top of the castle. I'm like, look at me, king
Torvik
of the castle.
He places it on the thing and Torvik vanishes.
Torvik, you idiot! I take mine and I put it on the land in front of the castle.
He vanishes as well.
And damn it, now, stop it, people!
As you're watching, their little figurines are moving on their own, kind of like you know, back and forth across these areas.
Does mine move suddenly, or is it
no,
or just
but,
moving?
No, but what she's still, you guys are like moving where you are, and I'll tell you what happens in a second. Right. As you're doing that, though, you see many other pieces appearing here. They all look like orcs and hobgoblins and other types of creatures. There's siege engines and catapults, and they're all appearing all around here and starting to advance towards the castle.
I grab Torvik and Doro and pull them off and put them onto the lift.
You can't move them. You cannot physically. It's like you can't even get to them.
I reach out with my divinity and attempt to lift it.
Nothing. Just bites you the whole
way. Jumanji, bitch. We're in the game.
Just sweep the orcs off the plate.
Yeah. I try to sweep the orcs off the plate.
Nothing. Cyrena looks at this and she's fine. She takes herself and places herself directly at the top of the tower and vanishes.
Where do you think we should go, babe?
I don't know. Let's go to where Doro is.
Okay.
You all appear at the same time, and you are in a vast field. And there's a keep and a castle here, exactly as you saw it on this rocky outbluff that rises up to meet it and then lowers to meet this grassy land in front of you. There must be a couple hundred orcs, goblins, whatever, hobgoblins, ogres, aligned against you, all coming through at once. You see several siege engines, you see a couple towers, a couple catapults, all marching towards you as a trumpet blares. You are here with Torvik.
No. Doro.
Sorry. Doro and Para. Torvik's at the top. So you, Para, and Doro are all down here on the main ground, and you see all these forces lined up. About 10 miles away, this camp of maybe 1,000, right? Of ogres and orcs. And
we went from 300 to 1,000. Oh, dear.
1,000. About 1,000. There's ogres and orcs, and there's about 6 catapults. Right, and I need the crew to be able to run it, and there's also a battling ram. I was like, I'm a little short on people, so there's 1,000 people, and they have looks like a large battling ram, at least half a dozen catapults, and a bunch of other arrows and pikes and whatever. Roar! And
we have no quarrel with you, and we run in the other direction.
you got distance because they've set up camp several miles away. You can see them starting to put up tents and everything else.
The castle.
Yeah, take the castle.
Don't want and just hide behind it the whole time.
There's nowhere for you to really go. I mean, you'd have to go through their camp line in order to get out. And
not if they're charging the castle. We stay back here.
We're
destroying, and then we just go around and leave.
You could try, but where would you go?
Opposite of the war.
Yeah, but where are you? How do you get back to where you were?
Well, we're going to live in that end of the snow.
Yeah, we'll just live there for
the rest
of our lives.
Going to live here for the rest of your lives? Okay.
We'll build up a little. It'll be like Maze Runner. We'll build up these stupid little sheds against a giant, large structure.
Oh, my God. And please don't talk about Maze Runner. ten minutes in, Doug and I are watching this movie, and we're both like, well, build a fucking scaffolding and climb to the top of the wall.
Look at all these trees.
Swear to God.
You could chop down.
Swear to God. It was so frustrating. We've been here for 10 years. You've been here for 10 years?
None of you built anything?
You haven't built a goddamn scaffolding to get to the top of the fucking wall? Jesus, kids, you belong there. You're the elite that are going to help us. Do what? The elite of morons about how stupid we are? Oh, that was an upsetting movie. So you guys see that they have set up camp. And it is dusk rapidly approaching night. So they've clearly set up camp for the evening. Some bonfires are going up, tents have gone up, and they're apparently waiting until dawn. There's Doro.
So small.
Is Para playing a lute now?
Mm-hmm. Para's the new bard.
He's the next bard.
Yeah. Wait, I can play a flute. Yeah, guys, I got this.
It's Para, so it's all gonna be like unplugged Morrissey. It's like one depressing song after the next. I once had a brother.
I don't think he would bring the fire, but
all right, so you see this line of people setting up camp.
Okay, and you say they're miles away. So
no. Yeah, like several miles away. There's no imminent threat whatsoever. Looking behind you, you see the fortress. Well, it's a very small keep, but it looks very well fortified. There's a huge main gate here, and then just beyond it, there's a second gate. You can't see it exactly from where you are, but there is a second gate here, leading to the larger tower beyond. These are all ramparts up along the top, about 20 feet above the rest. This reaches 60 feet into the air, so there's 3 stories of this and then the top of it.
How tall is a beastie?
Orcs are, you know, anywhere between 6 to 7 feet tall. Goblins top it at about 4 or 5 feet tall. There's a couple ogres who are going to be pushing 12 feet tall, and that's what you're seeing.
So an ogre could go here.
Well, an ogre could. One ogre could kind of like boom and then like standing on top of his shoulders, grip the top and pull himself up. You would say that there's 5% of those troops look like ogres, so maybe 20 or 30 of them. But yeah, they could probably double hand each other right over that wall.
Well, I suppose we're using our spy glasses right now, because how would we see like
yeah.
10 miles
oh, yeah,
away?
Yeah. Right. You got your spy glasses or whatever. You already, Doro has his on him. He would just whip it right out, you know? Yeah, absolutely. That was a gold piece thing right
there. Where's Torvik and Cyrena? Where are we?
Okay, so you roll. You kind of roll back towards the castle. Roll spot.
Perception.
Right. Thank you.
Perception. 8.
Torvik is literally on top of the wall, like, hey, hey.
Hey,
like,
Torvik!
He has his axe above his head. Oh, rah.
Stay up there.
Get up here.
We need a plan. Let's get together.
Okay.
So I lead the rest around and we go to the door.
No, you don't have to. I mean, he could just concentrate for a sec and then beam you up there, you know?
I'll just do that.
Pop,
right.
Pop.
So, you are now at the top of the tower, and Cyrena is there. Torvik is there too. It's like, hey, we got to fight. Yes. Ah. And while he's doing that and drinking, and Oinkers is jumping around in her little chainmail.
I thought we had left Oinkers in the...
Oh, right. Oinkers isn't there.
Right.
Because that would be dumb. Because why would Oinkers come on this thing?
It was just extra. Yes.
Right, exactly. So Torvik is there, like, raw, and he's like ready to fight. And so.
Okay, so there's an army out there.
Yes.
So the thing that has me most concerned is that quite obviously now this whole tower was made just for our benefit. Like, whoever made this thing is here testing us for some reason.
It certainly seems so. And you see Cyrena, and she's standing around the same table you guys were just standing around. And there's like a tray that's been carved into the edge of it. So there's the map in the center that perfectly recreates the map you guys are looking at. As you guys are moving, your little pieces are on the board, moving in representation. So now that you're all here in the tower, they're all there kind of milling about in that area. Yeah. It kind of looks like that those Rumble football, if you've ever seen it, where you put the players on, they it looks like that, right? The keep is well stocked with weapons, armor, arrows, food, water, and oil. At the top of the tower is a second large table, much like the one that transported you to this tower, with the center composed of a topological map that perfectly recreates the scene below. In addition to their own pieces, several more are lined up in a trove that has been cut along the bottom of the table in like a half arc edge. There's like a little indentation that's been carved, and there are several other pieces lined up in there. They are very clearly representations of what they are. You can just glance at them and know exactly who these people are. The pieces are startlingly accurate to the real people they represent and immediately recognizable as the following: Brannick, Adamiel, Lando Shavite, Hartalase, Pehitoho, Jasra Omar, Oscar Duarte, Annika Bloodstone, Kailu Lithdar, and Ginfonk Stormfuse. All the main cast you met on the boat, along with Adamiel and Brannick. She has Brannick's piece in her hand, and she shrugs, and boom, places it right down on the tower, and Brannick appears. He just there. He is in rags. His beard is long. His eyes are sullen and empty. His hands have big red raw marks around the wrists, and he has those same raw marks around his ankles. And he looks up at you guys, and he sees you, and he fumbles, and he starts moving away, and he has his hands up, and he looks terrified.
Brannick, what's wrong? What happened to you?
He's like, you, Zion.
Yes?
Where am I?
That's hard to explain.
How did I... Where's Phryne?
Back in Ani, as far as I know.
Where are we? Are we in Ani?
No.
Is she here?
No. What happened to you?
I don't know. I don't know. You guys fell asleep, and we couldn't wake you up. And then she fell asleep, but she woke up. And when she woke up, she was so mad. And she was so mad at me. And she had him lock me up. And they questioned me, but I didn't understand. They said I came into her dreams, and I didn't know what she meant. And I've been there. I've been there ever since. But she would come in, and she would, like, get in my head. And she would make me love her. And then she would hurt me. I don't know.
Torvik, heal him.
All his wounds are healed, and he stands up a little straighter. And he still looks like shit. But, you know, he healed, and he seems calmer, and Cyrena takes his hand while that's happening, and you can see the ring on her finger glow, and you can see him just kind of straighten, his eyes widen for a second and then narrow, and he just goes, she's always done this to me. She did it the whole time.
I'm sorry, Brannick, and I'm sorry you had to find out, but I'm glad that you're safe. Well, I wouldn't say safe.
And so Cyrena looks to you, and she's like, she seems concerned about Brannick, but again, she's the queen, so she's a little bit beyond people's personal troubles.
Right.
And Brannick is just a guard, after all, to her, you know? And so she's like, well, it would seem that these pieces actually summon those that they represent.
Yes, but is that something we should really do? I mean, aren't we putting these people in danger by coming here? There's an army headed this way.
If that army kills us, we do not save the God King. They are in just as much danger.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Well, they did sign up. Well, Audemil didn't sign up, but the rest of them did sign up to help us.
I would agree. Shall we summon them?
Doro?
Of course!
All right. And she takes the next piece in line. She takes Audemil and plunks him right down in the center. There's a flash of light again, and Audemil appears with another wild elf clutching his arm.
Wait, We didn't summon you.
And then they are both, like, the second they appear, back to back, instantly bows out, perfectly guarding each other. And then Automail's like, Zion.
Automail.
Doro. Marvin.
Yeah! Automail! Wait, who are you?
What magic is this, my friends?
The Union.
He nods. Like, confused, but knowing at the same time. Like, okay, how? But, well, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. What are you doing here? Although they knew you were here. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, sense motive. Perception.
Bluff check.
Why would you sense his motive? You have no reason. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Sense his
Intimidate.
Motive.
Intimidate.
Yeah.
Critical failure. Yeah.
No, Automail seems like he's telling absolute truth. In fact, you wonder why you ever doubted him.
I'm kind of just like giving looks. Like, where am I?
Torvik is very much like Evs. He's like gone over to us, like, yeah, we can ignore them. And he's pounding out some chain link or something, but growling and looking back and taking a swig of ale. Elves.
So, Automail, heard you use a little bit of blue mud and like to wrap it around us and track us around, eh?
He puts his bow back, his arrows back. Kind of looks to you, just gives you a shrug, like, okay, the gig's
just,
up.
Like, I have bowed down, but I'm like,
These are odd friends. And you recognize them as the ones you saw earlier that you were told not to be seen in front of. So I guess that gig's up too. And he's like, yes, we have done exactly that.
Well, why are you working with Baron LaFleur and Goldilocks Grabby Hands?
We are not working with Baron LaFleur and Goldilocks.
Well, we don't know his name, but he's an asshole.
Grabby Hands.
Sebu. He's another one of the Awakened.
Sebu had stolen a bow, the jars of mud we were using to track you, and absconded with both. We tracked him down to a meeting with both Baron LaFleur and one named Tiago Rhys that I did not know.
LaFleur.
Yeah, exactly. We saw him. Sebu sold them the mud. Apparently he had sold them a sample of it before. That was on a boat that sunk. Perhaps you know something about this?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I know specifically about this.
Well, that set them back a tad. They met back up with Sebu. Sebu sold them the rest of this mud, and then they departed.
How did he get it to begin with? Is he in charge of Hagen now?
We are a trusting people. He stole it and left.
So you guys are after him now?
We had taken him. And as soon as we had taken him, you brought us here.
This one showed up with you. Why didn't that one?
I do not know. She was holding me at the time.
Neither do I.
Did you summon both of us or just me?
Just you.
Then I do not know, my friend.
I'm sorry, who are you?
Do I say anything or...
He nods at this point.
Okay. I'm Rina Falaval. I was with him as we were tracking... what's his name?
Sebu.
Yeah.
Sebu, yeah.
Sebu, when we were tracking Sebu.
Well, I guess we welcome the help. At this point, there's an army. None of this is real, by the way. I'm pretty convinced. However, if we die, we'll probably die.
So it's not real, but deadly.
Not real, but deadly.
Yeah.
We're right now, I might as well tell you since you're here, buried deep within the Union, we're trying to go on this mission. And in order to complete this mission, we have to get through this room. This room is now a battlefield, which probably doesn't exist, as I said. There is an army of about 1,000 orcs and other baddies sorts, about 10 miles away, camped out. So we have the night to figure out how we're going to defeat them with our divinities. Oh, and this is Brannock.
And Brannock's actually over off to the side, and he has picked himself out plate mail and a sword and a helmet, whatever... Broken creature arrived, has been transformed into a pissed off, focused Brannock. He's not smiling. He's not making jokes. He wants to kill something for what's been done to him.
Yes, and I'll get to that.
We have plenty of those. So yes. Worry about something else.
All right, your Holiness, I guess put the rest on the board.
And she starts pulling all of her crew one by one, and they begin to appear. They are, again, all startled, every single one, but they're also really good at following orders. She picked them for a reason. She tells them what's up, and she assigns them two different tasks. A a couple of them who know how to run the catapult from her own ship, she puts on there. She puts a couple others with bows along the walls to get ready. Pei Toho is set up with a small infirmary and all of the salves and everything else he could possibly use. And, you know, they just prepare the best way they can. She assigns them to hold watch over the evening. Pei Toho lays out what's available, and she tells everyone to eat and then get as much rest as possible.
Well, right before we eat, I'm going to grab all that oil.
Yes.
And I'm going to coat this with oil.
Well, you could order them to, too. Right. I mean, you could just tell the crew and they'll... Yeah, absolutely.
Before we go through too much of that, I kind of want to use some of it for sabotage.
Ah, sabotage. So you have a plan.
There's, you would, if you use half of your oil, you can fill that entire place with the equivalent of lamp oil. That'll just go up at the first hint of fire. Now, she says, perhaps we should, now there are some like barrels that have like, you know, pitch anchors. You could fill these things and get them ready and then pour them out as people enter. The only thing she's worried about is like, we could fill it, but the fumes, we will have torches. It's yeah, it could ignite during the night, so let's maybe get it set up and wait.
Yeah. Fair enough, your holiness.
So they run around and they are getting that ready for you. But they shall go on your command, Zion, so keep an eye on them.
Okay.
How many catapults?
They have?
Yeah.
Six.
And ballistae?
None that you can see, just the catapults.
Just
one giant battling ram that's covered. So it's got like they're hammering down hide on it right now and then soaking that hide with buckets of water. So they're, well, that and be wet. So it won't catch fire easily. That is where you guys are, and her crew is setting up. You guys are having a relatively nice feast. There's plenty of cheese, and it's good cheese.
Oh, it's where are we at with your
from all regions
diet right now?
It's my current dietary restrictions.
It's restrictions. Are we in restrictions again? Are you not eating cheese again? Are you?
I don't know. I have a very complex relationship with cheese.
Yeah, no, that's why I asked. It's usually very changing. It's like a hue of decisions rather than just. Set ones.
I don't know. I'm so mad at my family right now. I think I'm just going to eat cheese out of spite.
Why are you so mad at your family?
Well, because they're trying
us
to kill us.
In their fucking ship, and he was
you
like,
you don't know
stop.
Who was on that ship. You never saw any of your brothers directly. You don't know.
I thought when Perry and I got on it, we
did see his one.
We saw everybody that was on that ship.
Then we realized you wouldn't know what his brothers look like, right. So it doesn't matter.
Para?
So as far as... Para doesn't know? Why would Para know?
Para didn't.
Oh, wait, no, Para would know, because Para was in the dream and saw your brothers in the dream with you, so he would know what they look like. So, yes, you did see them on board the ship.
All right.
Yep. Well, you saw Foza anyway, because that's the one you know.
That was the only one, that we saw, yeah.
Yeah, no, you definitely did see Foza aboard that ship. So you guys are eating. It's kind of solemn. You know, it's kind of quiet. The imminent battle always, you know, kind of kills conversation. But what do you guys do?
I don't know.
We're plotting.
This
entire
are
time,
you
probably.
Now? Audemil is, including himself in these plots. He's talking to you at least about strategy. Obviously, how do you feel about him right now?
Well, his explanation was good enough for me for now, because I never really thought that Audemil was the enemy.
Sure.
I figured, you know, he was always nice to us and stuck his neck out when he didn't have to.
Sure. It doesn't change the fact that they tracked you without your knowledge. Which they definitely did.
At the same time, I understand why they did it.
Right.
And I don't think that they're a direct threat. However, I know that that Baron LaFleur is a direct threat, and specifically who he's working for.
Yeah. And that they can track you.
And that they can now track us thanks to their deception.
Yep.
Which, you know, thanks a bunch for that.
No, and he recognizes that. I mean, if you came to him right there and like, you know, you guys did fuck us, he'd be like, well, yes, we did, but, you know, sorry.
It was good for us, though. Yeah. Thanks.
We were on the case, okay?
Yeah. They realized they fucked up, and they were trying to fix it. You know, it's just that, and frankly, they probably would have had them if you hadn't summoned them into the...
Yeah, fair enough. So explain to us about this. Who did you see?
I saw. So Admiral stayed behind outside because, you know, more recognizable.
Outside where? Where were you?
A tavern.
Was this tavern?
It was in River Run.
Oh.
Because we were...
Never got to go there.
We almost got to go to River Run.
I know. Then we went to Turtle Fest instead.
Nope.
This is the best two episodes ever.
And so I followed them inside, and I listened in on a couple of the conversation, and I learned about them handing off the jars of dirt and exchanging of the gold, and then tried to sneak out. Didn't work so well. Got Sebu and got him, tied him up. We're gonna go after. And I like sit down, I'm like, LaFleur and the other one. Cause I'm just like kind of like trying to remember.
Yeah.
And then, was trying to go do that, but then Adamiel kind of went translucent. So I kind of had to deal with that. Kind of grabbed onto him.
I see. Well, I stare at her for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to attempt to sense Godspark activity. I've done this before.
Just on your own?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, roll perception.
So it's very strange that she was pulled in along. No.
Four. No. You can't. No, I mean, you're trying, but you just can't quite get a read on her. You know, you could tell for sure, though.
See if you have one of those stones.
Yeah, Godstone.
No, well, that, but you could also hold the Eye of Saw.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do that.
No, but I'm just saying.
Not in the pocket dimension, no.
No, fair enough. No. Yeah. Remember when you held the Eye of Saw and you could seal them in their god form?
Don't use that. The fuck? That's like fishing with dynamite,
stupid.
I'm
just saying, you know it's what... Oh, please. How many times have you guys reached for the Eye of Saw during this journey?
Versus what other decision?
Oh, we're under a giant arch that seems otherworldly, like no one could ever build. Let's hold the Eye of Saw and transport from their dimension while we're under it. Come on.
Don't
start to pretend like you're careful with it.
But then I realized, that's when I realized that I'm not going to be using that so often.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you guys have been pretty liberal with the thing that I told you from the beginning, that the remnant of the God of Time told you was something that was dangerous to use frequently. He directly said, watch your ass with this.
No, what are you talking about?
Tyr told him how dangerous the Eye of Saw was.
No, that was the God of Travel, not Time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I meant the God of Travel. Yes. Sorry.
Wait, I'm the God of Time?
No, you're not.
Time travel.
No. 100%.
I fix everything.
You are 100% not the God of Time.
Nuts.
Or fate, or any of those.
Oh, come on.
No. You are the God of Travel. Sirena expects them to attack at dawn. That seems to be what they're setting up for.
We need to do something before that, though.
So, okay, what would you suggest, Dodo?
Well, clearly someone's going to have to sneak in there and try and disable all this siege equipment that they're going to knock this tower down with.
Yes, let's do that. Let's attack.
You're not coming.
Oh, I'm coming.
When was the last time you were quiet, Torvik?
You don't want quiet. You want to destroy and smash.
No. That's tomorrow. You'll have plenty of time for that.
I can be quiet. You see, and he, like, fishes his whole entire mug and he slams it down. You watch me be quiet. And he turns into a rat. There's now a rat on the table, skittering about, ducks behind a mug, leans out, and then like crawls up on the edge of it and like lap, 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 and begins to drink the mug.
Okay, so you can come and I don't know anything about you yet.
So
and
what can you do?
I'm gonna go.
If you're here, are you one of the guardians of the forest?
Adamiel puts a glance at you and quite downplay it.
Uh-huh. Okay, I went to roll perception to see if I saw him do that.
Roll perception, go ahead.
Not.
Oh, he rolled a 2, so you're going to catch this.
11.
Yeah, you see Adamiel kind of glance at her and like...
Something you want to keep under wraps, Adamiel?
Huygens asked me. Protect her, to keep her quiet.
Okay.
To keep her even away from you when you were first visiting us.
Why?
I do not know. But Fagant asked me to do something, I do it. Situation has changed. She is attached to Jodar.
Ah.
Her power is to be lucky.
Well, that's lucky.
Lucky?
Her power is not lucky. Always. Her power is not always good luck. Her power is luck. It comes in 2 flavors.
So far, I've been doing pretty good.
I do not know why Hagant believes she is so important, but she does. So I do as well. And have been assigned as her own guardian.
I see. Well, I think we're all important. So you need to think higher of yourself.
Aww. Oh, I think I'm very important, my friend. No one has to remind Automil that he's the shit. Automil knows he's the shit. You don't even know what he can do now. He's gotten some new tricks up his sleeve.
That's true.
Much faster now.
All right, so let's get the adventure started. I teleport on top of the nearest table, turn to the rest of the crowd, and say, I'm going to assault the enemy of camp! Who wants to come with me?
Right. They kind of look at each other, and I mean, Automil's like, well, I'm in. Torvik is like,
rat.
The rat runs, grabs a toothpick, slams it down into an olive, and he's like, rah!
Very cool. You're definitely coming.
I'll go if Automil goes.
So, right. We need
Paris
a plan.
Like, I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we're going to be surrounded by 1,000 people.
And that's exactly what they don't expect to happen.
That's fair. I mean,
they expect us all to sit in here and wait until daylight happens. They come in and they trounce us. Let's do exactly what they're not going to expect. Let's attack them right now!
If you do this, you should consider that you will be attacked as he says. Some of you will have to repel the attackers while the others disable the equipment. Obviously, Peta and you, I assume, will be the disablers.
Well, Parrot could be used to keep people off and away, though.
That's also true.
And so could you.
As could I.
Well, that's definitely true with you. Yeah.
I think Automil
and you can always take, you and Automil could take sniper shots at the ones who break through the line.
Yeah.
You know.
And then me and Torvik. I
there
think that's what's going to happen.
There you
okay,
go.
So here's what the team is. So it's me and Torvik. You and Automil were the strike teams that are going to these things and doing it. We're taking each a clearer. So you guys can have Para, and we'll have Zion.
Right.
And then as we're going to these places, they're cleaving people apart for us to get through. And then you just get to the thing, turn it off, go to the next thing. You don't fight the general. You don't fight the guy saying, I bet I'd kill you. You don't worry about the spellcaster. You don't ignore the dragon. That ogre is kissing the other guy. No, just leave all of them alone.
Why are we ignoring gay ogres? Because I think I'm going to stop and watch that. I'm going to have to, at least for creativity. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? I'm not saying you'd watch it because you'd be into it, but you'd watch it because you'd be like, well, I mean, I'm going to have to now. It's like a car wreck. They're looking at the plan. It looks like, I mean, there's a central part of the camp where it's busy, and there are catapults lined up on either side of it in a line spread out with about maybe, a tenth of a mile in between each one of them, right? And both in Cyrene is like, well, we go into the center, right? I mean, if we appeared in the center, we will attract the most attention, pull them all towards the center, and the two of you can go east and west at the same time, take them out. And then come back to the center.
Sounds terribly dangerous.
That sounds awful.
This one can teleport. This one can be, what can you be? And Antor's like, ha ha ha, boom. And then like, he's a cat, and he's an eagle, and he's an alligator. All the shit like gets knocked off.
I've never seen him
do this.
I thought you were upset about being a monster, but no.
A giant tail kind of sweeps back and forth and like knocks off bread and ale and everything gets slapped to the ground.
I'm right, Torvik.
Yeah, and then this is just giant alligator like, oh, ha 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 ha, snap, 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 snap. All happy as can be.
So that's what Torvik can do.
And then boom, he's back into a rat. He scuttles off to the side, appears as a dwarf, and then like, apparently the drinking and the different sizes were a bit much for his system to take because his ability to absorb alcohol kept shifting, and he kind of stumbles for a second. He's like, oh, ha, 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 ha.
Okay, all right. Why are we leaving the clearers in the largest clustering of the enemies and then breaking out of it with this sabotage?
Well, the idea is that if they create a big enough, if there's fire and arrows and force blasts going off and this highly concentrated group out, like in a circle, keeping everyone busy, no one's going to fucking notice a teleporting halfling and a shape-shifting rat dwarf sneaking into each of the things, cutting ropes, disabling them, and getting to, I'm assuming you guys are doing this stealthily, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, No, yeah. I was doing it way more forcefully at first. But
well,
that,
the force is in the center.
Plan.
Yeah, but I mean, again, I know I'm playing a bit, but this is what Sirena does. So she jump in with tactics at this point. Yeah,
she's probably been in.
Well, I'm not really getting a clear picture of how this is.
Okay, so
out.
Hang on. Let me just draw like a little teeny recreation here. So imagine there's a central camp area, and again, this is not to scale.
Right. Okay, I just want to kind of get a.
And there's kind of camp all around, and they have set up something like that. So what she wants you to guys do is teleport into the center here, form a protective ring, and just
go
blast
down the lines.
Fuck out of everyone.
Oh,
while these two
are
jump off to the lines.
In the axes of the catapults? Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So you guys are just going to be like in the center in this giant kind of X-Men fight while they quietly get to the catapults, cut ropes, whatever they got to do to complete disable them, and then come back. And get you guys out of there, assumedly.
Hopefully. This could end terribly, though. We could all die.
You could. You just got. But I mean, he's gonna need. You're gonna assume, like, maybe to get this completely done right, 10 rounds each on each side, because he'll be faster at it. He'll be back first. Torvik's gonna need at least 10 rounds to get this done on his end. It'll go like, you know, some
sort. Just gonna be them.
Well, what if we got Torvik to stay in the middle and use Automail instead to get to the other catapults, and have Torvik change into a fucking grizzly bear and help fight.
Well, the problem is once he starts engaging, he won't do very well. Like, okay. That's the problem. Like, we're against like hundreds of people here.
No, actually, a grizzly bear would do really, really well, but Automail is certainly far. If you want people in the center keeping people away from it, you want Automail. Automail is just artillery at this point. He can fire his arrows so quickly. So you want these two providing cover in the center. So basically, like, the outer ring is going to be you and Para, right, with your fire and sorry, with his fire and your shields, you know, doing the main blasting. And then behind you, if they start to slip through the ranks, are going to be her and Automail picking them off one by one. And then Torvik and them are going to be cutting lines while you guys just clear house and then get the fuck out of there.
All right. So maybe should Her Holiness stay here? And
yes.
Oh, yeah. She's not going anywhere. No. In no part of this did she ever suggest she was coming.
So you manage things here, Your Holiness.
Yeah. And she's like,
should we fail, hopefully you're able to kill the rest and get out
into
the Union and save
your grandfather. Oh, by then we will have done enough damage that they won't be able to siege the castle correctly. If we're going to appear in the middle of the main forces and fucking start attacking them, and
with all your combined might,
at the very least, these people who have been trained to do this and have probably done this before can just stay in the fort where they can't be bombarded by siege equipment anymore, and they'll just wear them down eventually.
Well,
and you also have your oil trap. The last minute.
Oh yeah.
All right, well, good luck, everybody.
And it is a last-ditch trap. I mean, setting fire to your own keep is kind of a last-ditch effort, but yes, it'll work, you know.
I don't have any sympathy to this keep, so, like,
well,
I know, it's like, why are we saving this? Why are we fighting here? We just let them have it.
And this is the thing.
And then destroy the keep.
Well, I mean, assuming they're destroying the keep, if they're not destroying the keep and trying to kill you, it's nice to have the keep, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
I'm assuming here we are being tested by whatever force created this tower.
It's war.
Right.
Yeah.
But
hang on. Ayus and Ogun made the tower. Added levels into all of them.
Yeah, but you know what? I bet this was modified because I wasn't born when they did that.
Or maybe it was never made to be. I mean, there's huge gaps between each floor. There was water in one of them. There's got to be some sort of mechanism making these things happen, whether it's magical or what. So you can assume you've seen levels change in front of your very eyes. Perhaps the entire thing can just rearrange itself and restructure itself for whoever comes. It's impossible to know.
Why?
It's a really good question. It's a really good question. Why?
It's a very complicated thing for no fucking reason.
Yeah. You know? And like, if you want to like give, and I don't want to ruin the episode for you, but they tell you in general that they've gone through various levels and all the levels.
Yeah, so Automail, let me take. I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Rena.
Yeah. Okay, Rena. So by the way, just in case you want to know, we're either in a pocket dimension or got transferred somewhere far away, who knows, but we were inside the Union and we saw like a board, and that's where we put ourselves on it, and that's how we
appeared. Show them the board, it's right there.
Well, it's not the exact board we were in. We were in an empty room.
Yeah.
that we had traveled through four different rooms and explained about the water and explained about, and you know, it was always very specific to our divinities to try to get us up there. So,
and each room was made after a god or gods.
Yes.
In fact, as he's explaining this, he gestures towards the front walls of this keep, and lined along these interior walls are the god of travel and the god of war, both reaching out towards the front gate.
I know that one.
No. And you also know, by the way, he's briefed you on this group.
Right.
You know who Doro is, that he's attached to the god of travel. You know who Michael is, that he's attached to the
Zion,
god of force. Sorry, Zion. You know who Para is.
I'm not a god.
And then he's like, Zion.
They suspect he's attached to Sephor, but there was always a question. Was it Sephor or was it the god of fire?
Mm-hmm.
So they never really know. Like, was it the god of the sun or the god of fire? They were never 100% sure on that.
Right.
And then you know that Torvik is attached to the god of beasts, which is interesting for the elves,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially because you kind of expected that to be one of yours.
Mm-hmm.
You're also kind of surprised that to hear through this kind of the same channels they heard that the god of plants is in the desert and is an awakened cactus. No one really understands what that means.
Right.
This person that they got the information on was having these waking fever dreams and kept speaking of a living cactus walks the sands of Rhizom.
Is it like the Final Fantasy one?
Yes, it's just like that.
That's what I was thinking.
Or from Mario.
Yeah.
Good luck. You'll never hit that bitch.
The one where there's a bunch on top of each other.
You will never hit that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Every single one of your attacks seem to miss. And then he vanishes and runs away.
Fucker. What does your character look like?
Like shoulder length, red hair. Icy blue eyes, like 145 pounds.
5'11".
Yeah, 5'11".
Tall, but not tall for an elf.
Yeah.
Just tall for a person.
Yeah. And then...
You know, taller than all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a guardian bow, so like, that can go back and forth.
Yes. She and Adamiel clearly are both wearing guardian bows and guardian armor.
Yeah.
If you have the armor as well, the same armor that you saw Adamiel in the first time.
Yeah.
So when she goes into forest, she'll turn almost invisible. You know, she can probably fire those specialty arrows you saw Adamiel fire.
That I have.
Which ones do you have, by the way? You have
the sleep ones.
Two of the sleep ones, right? Yeah. Here. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Can make you more, huh?
That's right, you
can. I can literally just be like.
Yep.
All right, well, everybody grab equipment. So if they have a lot of arrows and stuff, I don't want Adamiel to run out of them, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
We can't.
Yeah. Adamiel, Adamiel trusts you, and he feels that after, you know, you guys recently found out that they've been tracking you, and he wants to regain your trust. So he would lean in and be like, we do not need that, my friend. And he shows you his quiver, and it's empty. And he reaches back, and he's like, signal, yellow. And an arrow appears in his hand, and he goes, boom, and fires it straight up, zoom, yellow bolt of light.
Nice. Out of curiosity, in your place, what do the red signals mean?
The red signals mean that we are on the tracking of a hunt,
that we
have found something, and to bring the others for imminent battle.
What were the other colors?
Yellow.
Yellow, there was a yellow, and then
yellow
there
was means that we have passed an hour and not been able to find something, that we are at a neutral position.
Isn't there another one? There was a white one or something, wasn't there?
White one means we have lost the trail.
And that was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yep.
I'm good to know.
Nope.
So now we know.
Funny information.
Now we know. 13 episodes later.
We attacked the wood elves!
Fools! Yeah. Thank you for the information.
Adamiel!
Adamiel likes his chances. So what do you do for the rest of the evening?
I defeat the army.
Okay, so you ready? You ready to go?
Not if anyone else isn't. I won't start until, because I know people at this point.
Brannick comes up and he's like, I'm going.
To be able to cast.
I'm coming.
Brannick, I think you might be better use here in the keep.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not going to be better use here in the keep unless you want me to be bashing my head against a wall. I'm coming.
It will probably mean your death.
It'd be better than where I was.
So, Brannick, what happened to you? The last time I saw you in the dream. I saw you chasing Phryne. I saw you bashing your head against the wall.
You see him grow, like, distant for a second.
That wasn't me, Zion. I wasn't there.
Oh. So she saw. She must have gotten this vision too.
And I don't know, Zion. I'm not part of that. I'm not part of this. I don't go in visions. I don't have abilities or powers, and he's sharpening his sword the whole time. I don't know anything about that. Nothing. This is not my place. I wasn't supposed to be here. I shouldn't be a part of this.
Okay. Out of character.
Yeah.
So I guess we just let him kill himself.
Right. Yeah, just let him run in there. It's not like he was hers.
Right.
Yeah. True.
Good luck. Sorry.
He wants to come.
Frying, he's
he
not gets, here.
He's not dumb. He gets the plan. I mean, he's clearly emotionally upset, but he gets the plan. You guys are hold a tight circle, keep people at bay, and send them back. And he's listened to what you guys said, and he's like, that's a great plan. But if someone gets through the archers, you got no one to cover them. You got no one hand to hand. You're going to need me to run interference and keep everyone safe. And if someone gets through, I'll tank them.
All right.
Well, let's say that. Hmm.
Why the fuck not? Tanking exists as a term here.
Nice.
Yes, it exists. It exists, and the soldiers use it.
All right.
I'll tank them.
I'll tank them.
So, do we think that we should do this tonight before?
Make sure you buff first.
Yeah. Or should we maybe do this like just before first light? So that way we get a little bit of rest.
Yeah, well, I mean, whoever needs to rest will rest, but we need to do this
deeply
sooner than later.
Because both of us have been
there. No one's rested, so.
This would be an idea. If they are setting up camp, and camp that takes many hours, they are clearly planning to attack us at dawn. If we attack an hour before, that will give us all time to rest, and we shall probably catch them off guard.
I like that plan. Yep. We're going to attack 1 hour before dawn. So whoever doesn't need to rest, keep watch. And wake us up an hour before dawn.
Basically, you all get rest, and she'll just put her people in watch.
Yay.
Yeah.
I can be up.
Anyone who's, right, you need 4 hours of trance.
Yeah, I'm good.
That's all that you
need.
Yeah,
I need my spells back, and I lost 2 hit dice.
So. Okay, excellent. So while you are sacked out cold, and those hit dice come back, by the way, they are restored to you with this full rest.
And to Perrin.
Yeah, he did lose 2 hit dice. Like, it looks for a while they thought they were permanent. It was good.
Even if I'm not getting spells back,
yeah,
would I still be able to rest?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you can store it. So you get all your hit points back, all your hit die back, everything. Yeah.
Thank God.
Right?
That was the only thing I was worried about. I was like, I'm kind of like a little...
No, you guys have plenty of time to rest, and they will wake you up before time. So... You and Adamil go and kind of meditate at the top of the tower. You get up after a while. You see Zion and Para are like on a cot, kind of like curled in towards each other with their hands kind of met in the center.
Oh, and it's cute. Right,
this one is just like sacked out, arm out, foot out of the bed, tongue out, just gaping snores coming out of him. So loud for such a tiny little person. So loud.
I know. How is this?
Rumbling. Like, you all are like, what the fuck? How does this happen? He's like,
his whole body is made out of lungs.
Like, just lung. Just lung from here down to his knees. Oh.
Like half face palm. Yeah.
Oh, so frustrated. Even Torvik doesn't snore this fucking loud. And he's stacked out right next to him. Just drunk, covered in his own ale. Torvik is continuously a little bit gross. And I wouldn't say that if he didn't describe himself that way.
That's true.
You guys enter your meditation, and then you're kind of walking around the edge of the tower. There's a couple of Kailu Lithdars also up there. There's another wood elf. There's another wild elf. You don't know him. Mm-hmm. He is not from your guys' tribe. He's not from the Ironwood. So you've never met him before. Wait, is he from the Ironwood? Before I fuck this up?
I have no idea.
Hang on. Pale elf with thick brush of silver hair and bright lavender eyes. Okay, good. I haven't said where he's from. Perfect. All right, Kylo is not from the Ironwood. That pale lavender tells you he's from the south.
Okay.
No. That pale lavender tells you he's from the north. He's a northern elf, but far more north than you are. He is one of the elves that lives in exile in the woods near Gal Hadir. Mm-hmm. They've almost been hunted pretty much to extinction, but there are some left. And there are a lot of refugees from there, and he's most likely one of those.
I said we'd probably just chat.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah. He's on watch. He's kind of like just like up near the front looking out.
Yeah.
Over everything, just watching
the
fires.
We can help, probably.
What's that?
I said we probably help where we can, like, ask where we can be, like.
Oh, sure, you know, absolutely.
If we can make, like, a little, like, ring, you know, around.
You're from the Ironwood.
Both of you?
Yeah.
What brings you here?
Getting teleported here.
You trust them?
I turned to Admiral because...
trust them. I trust that their intentions are noble ones. I trust they are trying to do the right things. Do I know them? No. But I believe their intentions are good. And the other, I hate when I have to talk to myself. The other elf nods,
yeah.
And he's like, if Styrena believes in them, I believe in them.
Right, and then I kind of like do the thing of like, if Adamiel believes, then I'm gonna believe, because like, that's all I have to go on
right
here.
Exactly, exactly.
He's the only like, one I firmly know.
It's one person.
Yeah, and frankly, Adamiel has been very straight with you this entire time,
right.
Clearly invested in you, so if he tells you something, there's no reason for you to
right.
not believe it.
Yeah.
Fair enough, okay. So you guys, elf commiserate for a while, and then just kind of, I guess...
You don't need to sleep like you guys.
Right, exactly. That's like, and it is hysterical. I mean, you really haven't watched a lot of people sleep.
Yeah.
You've seen animals asleep.
Yeah.
And you've always found that adorable.
Right.
And it's kind of the same thing. Like, it's such a... Like, it's so weird. Like,
yeah.
What are they doing? Like, where are their
what's
minds?
Going on,
what are they?
Yeah.
So it's a very strange thing for you to see people
right.
sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of amusing, actually.
Yeah, probably find it kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're kind of like...
I'm like watching, but right. I'm like, eh.
Like, yeah, and you're then, watching me sleep.
Right. Then, you don't know.
Elves. Yeah. Elves. What do you expect? Creeping around in the dark, watching you sleep, waiting to steal your babies.
We've got to have
pastimes. And we've stolen so many babies this month. I got five myself. So a couple hours later, you guys groggily wake up, and start. And it's like, you're woken up.
You're
woken up just before, about a half hour before an hour before dawn.
Yeah.
And you both, splash some water on your faces, quietly assemble, mm-hmm. and you are all at the top of this tower looking out.
All right, all of the awakened grab hands and grab Brannock's hands as well.
Mm-hmm. And as you guys are doing this, Cyrena is pointing to her crew who are around the catapult in the front. There are people and the rest have bows at the very, very mouth. So they're ready for this to go pear-shaped mm-hmm. in case it does. Mm-hmm. And they're also getting ready to add some backup because she's like, well, if the idea is to distract, we may as well fire a few shots off.
Sure, I don't think they'll get to there. It's like 10 miles away, but yeah.
Can they reach there?
Well, no, the front of the catapult line is much closer. They've set them up within range. They just haven't fired yet. So they think they can reach that.
Oh, they're not going to have to move the catapults after they...
No, they're set up. And then the camp is set a little further back.
Are they in range of ours?
You would assume so.
Why wouldn't we just...
Why didn't we just open fire when they moved their catapults into firing range?
Well, you could have, but they were still setting up.
That's why you fired at them!
No, they were still set up. Your people were getting the catapult ready. There weren't any shots there. There wasn't any weaponry.
We appeared and they were there.
Yeah.
Oh, we still should have fired. We could have destroyed that ship right now.
They were getting ready. And the first time
destroy them.
That's when you break them is when they're moving.
No, you guys, your team, your they, were still getting the thing ready. It wasn't roped. It wasn't set. It wasn't. You had to prepare everything. It's not just taut and ready to go. They had to actually make the thing work, It took them a couple hours.
I know a catapult that works when you tell it to just work.
If it's set up to work. him? Yeah. He can't throw something 10 miles.
Why not?
Because he can't.
I saw.
Yeah. So you guys are getting ready.
Yeah, we're ready.
Right.
Yeah, we're ready.
We all got our armor on. We all got our.
Right. So you,
and
Hera.
And of course, bring the Oblivion Gem just in case.
Okay. Right. Fair enough. So you three and Para and Brannock, correct?
Wait a minute. Did I ever get another coat? Or remember when my jacket was destroyed?
No, you never did get another coat.
Kept my belongings?
You never got another coat. And it wasn't all of your jacket. Basically, from the shoulder down was all ruined. Then acid ate away kind of here, too. So it's no longer really a good coat. It's like a coat missing an arm and a whole sleeve area here.
Oh. Yeah. So it just needs repair. But I can still keep my stuff in it?
Yeah, you're just like, this is all bare.
Oh, okay.
Where it should be,
Sorry. I will get this eventually. What is your name again?
Rina.
Rina.
R-I-N-A.
R-I-N-A, okay.
Yeah.
Someone's getting ready to clock initiative. All right.
Yeah. Okay, so we all clasp hands, and everybody focus your energies on Doro.
True.
No, you've never done this before.
Yeah, I was like, never done that
so,
before.
So, nor is Audemir.
Oh, you haven't done this before. Yes, there's only been two of you. We found out that we can combine our divinities and be more powerful than any one of us could ever be. And if we focus our energies all together on one of us, then we're able to do something truly spectacular. Like, for instance, teleport 10 miles.
Audemir turns to you and an elven, and they wonder why we were watching them.
And I say to him, I heard that. I chuckle a little.
He's like, how exactly do you do this?
You must clear your mind and focus. There's a bridge.
Okay, and you go through the whole bridge thing, right?
We woke up earlier for this.
You go through the whole bridge thing. And you kind of walk them through it for a second. You guys focus like on each other, like you take a moment just to test it, right? And you kind of feel the bridge in the middle. You guys kind of have an idea about what this is now. So you're like, all right, fine, great. Let's do it. All right, so both of you roll wisdom. Okay. You and Audemir both roll wisdom.
Straight wisdom?
Yeah.
Okay. 12.
Okay, you need to roll constitution because you're focusing. You've got this down at this point.
And Pear also.
Mm-hmm. 18.
Mm. Yeah, Pear, they're not much help. This around. Para is clearly distracted, being concerned about Zion because they're about to step into a
Zion,
warfare.
So of course he's not paying attention.
And Zion's
that's true.
Distracted as well
because he's worried about Para and everyone
Zion's
else.
Touching
right?
Para. This right. was a terrible
right.
idea.
Right. Both the elves seem very unsure about what they're doing, so they're not very helpful either. And frankly, having Brannick involved, he's no help. He's just a further burden to move.
It.
Right. Yeah. So what did you roll?
18.
Yes. However, you're able to get past all of that, block them all out, and pull them. They're like anchors holding you back, but you yank them along with you, and you guys vanish from where you are, appear a couple feet above where you wanted to be, and fall. So I need you to all roll dexterity. Actually, acrobatics, if you have it.
Probably not, no. 16.
19.
12.
Okay, anyone 10 or lower? Okay. Para falls and turns his ankle, and you hear a yelp of pain because Para always injures himself. You hear a yelp of pain as he falls, and he kind of gets up. He's like, I'm okay, I'm okay.
Para broke something again.
And Torvik, you know, almost like a cat, like very weirdly agile for Torvik. Yeah, and his eyes have already
Torvik
flared
yellow.
Torvik has
been acting very differently recently.
Shut
it's
up.
Very strange.
I'm going to have to edit all of this out. So his eyes flare a yellow cat's eye as he hits the ground. He's already clearly engaged. You appear in a clearing in the center of the camp, and there are just hideous creatures everywhere who all just kind of like, you know, like their mouths half, you know, half full of meat or whatever, just kind of look up and snarl and start reaching for weapons and axes and bows or just a hot rock or maybe a stick on fire, whatever they can grab at the moment. But they're getting ready to attack. Though they are clearly surprised.
Excellent. I would think initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Now!
Wait, you're kidding. You roll initiative, and then you all get one free. You all get one
Hooray!
Free action.
Okay. Free action. Ooh. Well, I'll be going kind of.
Well, this is appropriate. They roll a 3, collectively.
Excellent.
Okay. Well, let's just a second. So,
sure. Take your time.
I kill all the enemies.
Well done.
One blow.
He does it. He just starts narrating, and then we win. And then I get all the gold.
Yep.
And I've won all the XP.
Okay.
And I have the power.
Doro, what did you get?
Shit. 13 and this. 3. 16.
And 19.
Oh, Audemir goes on 18 plus. He goes on 21. Well, he also. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, no. 26. I forgot to add his bonus. He gets a huge bonus because of his ability on initiative, because obviously he's quicker.
Okay, first to act is on this free round is Audemir.
I would imagine. Okay,
duh.
Audemir just lines a couple up, and in seemingly one quick move, flick, 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 fires 3 arrows in the time it would take you to draw one. You're not even sure you saw him fire them. They just shoot out of his butt. Exactly.
It's like those
hits one,
cameras, yeah.
Hits two,
Hits three. Takes out three orcs in a line. Dead. Before they even really get up, just takes them right out.
Excellent. Brannik.
Okay, Brannik pulls his two-handed, you know, giant-ass sword and stands pretty much in the center, moves to the center here, and is watching everyone and is holding an action until someone rushes the line. These all represent orcs as they're going to come charging in. Well, I can always recycle.
I've never seen an orc before.
You guys haven't, actually. That's an interesting thing. You're all fourth and fifth level, and you've never seen an orc before. You're all, wait, are you fifth level now?
No, I'm fourth.
No, you're fourth level. Fourth. So you guys are all fourth, but you've never seen an orc before, because I don't run a typical D&D world. So, but these are what orcs look like. You've heard
we've
tale of them.
Wolves yeah. before? I don't think we've
wolves?
Ever. Yeah, I don't think we've ever no. fought a wolf before
we've
either,
a
have
wolf.
We?
No.
Have you even seen a wolf?
No,
well, yeah. Dire a wolf.
Yeah, yeah. Torvik's seen a dire wolf several times. And you know why you've never fought a wolf? Because, like, once Torvik has abilities, there's really no point about sending animals against
right,
you.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you prove that with the bear.
Like,
it's just
staple, is you the know. Aggressive animals.
No, I get you. It's just that also, I mean, Torvik doesn't really understand this yet, but when animals get within a range of him, they almost instantly become at least swayed under his influence. No animal would attack him. Yeah. No animal would approach you guys aggressively. Even right. if you came across an aggressive carnivore, it would turn non-aggressive now just being around him. Right. So that's why you haven't been attacked.
Right.
Metagame, metagame, metagame.
All right, the end. Rena. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I'm gonna take a shot at the closest.
The orc.
Yeah, the closest orc.
Sure.
Probably. 11, yeah.
11?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you fire at the nearest orc and he brings up a shield just in time and thunk, and it lowers and you see his eyes just narrow on you and his fangs.
Well, Brannik.
All right, Torvik.
Torvik. Boof, and he turns into a tiny sparrow with a bright red breast that flaps into the air and you hear, tweet, 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 and he goes flying off in direction of the first catapult to the east.
All right, okay. Doro.
And he's kind of like drunkenly, like
exactly straight. You said he went to the east.
Yes.
Before I run off to the west one, I actually want to look around and notice if any of these guys are bigger than the rest, or adorned
Perception.
Differently, or is pointing and saying yeah. things to them.
Fair enough. Perception.
You seem beautiful or not?
LaFleur! two, four, and that is 17.
Yeah, okay, so beyond the line, like back here a while, like if the catapults are going directly this way, kind mm-hmm. of southwest, right? You see a larger orc with an elaborate headdress and bones all covering him and face paint, and he's clearly, even though you can't understand him, shouting orders
Get
to everyone around him.
I turn to Otomiel and say, kill the cute one! As I point to the...
Kill the cute one?
Yeah, kill the cute one. And I point to the one with feathers.
Okay.
Kill the cute one!
Okay.
I say to him...
For your sexuality sure. is nebulous and weird.
What? What do you mean? Oh, he's cute because he's a... I'm dressed up! I'm ready for war!
Fair enough.
What are you wearing?
Kill the cute one. The cute one. It kind of follows your
oh,
eye.
Oh, I see what you
right?
did.
And he's
Not
so...
Kill the right. cute one.
Then he's
it's
so...
kill the cute... Look what he's doing! He's dressed like a fucking bird!
He kind of looks at you and says, you know.
Anyway, now I go to the west. Oh, five.
Yeah, for plus your wisdom.
Wisdom.
Yeah. But that's fun. I mean, you... again... You've done this a million times. You're just you're just teleporting yourself.
I'm going over there then. Yeah.
So, you appear at the first one. I need a stealth roll.
That actually much better. It's like 28.
Yeah. You basically you can see a crack through just into the very center of this machine, like the smallest centimeter of a view in, and you appear directly in the middle of this wooden structure, just perfectly in it. Now, a little bit of your tuft of hair. Just a little bit, because your hair is kind of bouffant and big, because everyone draws it that way. A little bit, like, you move your head and like, your hair is embedded. Just a little bit of the tip is embedded in the wood in front of you. If you have materialized a little bit inside of it, I guess, with your hair, and it's stuck. You have to cut a tuft away to pull your head free. That's never happened before. But part of you solidified.
I was like, I didn't want to appear inside it.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
And this has never right. happened before. And okay. that's and all you can think about is I'm really glad that was my hair.
Yeah. obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, me.
I'm sorry. He moved. He can still take an action.
Oh, well then.
Oh, right. That was your action to free yourself. Right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Gotta get those luscious locks back.
Tor, your hair.
Right. Torvik, heal my hair. Because there's like a big spot now.
I will reach out with my divinity. I'll grab that orc.
Yeah.
And I'll throw him across to the other orc.
Nice, nice. Okay. Roll just constitution so you can focus on him.
Now, is this... When do I know that it's a constitution save and a constitution just rolling straight?
It's the same roll.
Okay, so I always get this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You should always be getting a constitution.
I should always be getting it.
He never rolled his fucking constitution.
Yeah, I know. Like, we talked about that.
Not that it matters.
I wasn't adding proficiency. See.
I know. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I know. Nine anyway.
Nine plus?
Yeah. No, it's just nine.
Oh, nine? Okay. You were able to get him, but you get, like, you hold him in place, but you can't quite lift him. Your focus is just a little bit off.
Okay. Para, do better than me.
Para sees, like, the line falter a little. Like, you see his eyes flare over, and also fire kind of appear on the back of his neck, kind of like a ridge of fire, like if he was Godzilla or something, right? And he just draws his two fingers in a semicircle. And this bluish purple flame appears in a wall all around there, about 10 feet high. Thin enough that you can see through it clearly. So it's not like a hot fire where it blocks your vision. You can easily see through it, but you can feel the heat from it. It's not like that, you know, harmless fire he makes. This is definitely real.
Back to the top of the round for the first round in which the BCs connect.
Correct.
We got an extra round.
Yep.
So Aramil.
Automail. Okay, so Automail. Alright, so Automail's gonna fire.
He's not gonna go for the cutie?
Miss.
He's not
No, I'm sorry. That's what
Dora
he said to do.
To the
so he and fires three shots right at him. First one missed. That's going to hit. That's gonna hit. Okay. Right into his arm and then right into his leg, and the guy kind of falters back, and several orcs rush up around him and are dragging him off. He is not dead, but he's certainly wounded and at least taken out of a control capacity right now.
All right.
Well,
they also have to deal with that now instead of him directing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. There. Yep. Objective completed. Yeah. Do what you want to do now.
Well done.
It's Brannick's turn.
Brannick. Okay, Brannick is still holding action until someone breaks the line.
All right, Rena.
I'm going to hit one.
Oh. Incredibly unlucky.
Oh, yeah. Again, she's the god of luck. She's not the god of good luck. So you pull a one. I need you. Oh, let's see. What's going to happen? You're here firing this way.
Yeah.
Okay. I need you to roll a second die to see if you hit. So roll that die again.
Okay.
Now you rolled well, right?
Yeah, like a 21.
So you go to fire at this orc and you let go of your bow, and a second later your eyes widen as a sparrow crosses the path of your arrow. So you strike Torvik in the side, in the wing. He goes spiraling down and slams into the dirt right about here.
He'd be going
as
the other way.
Orcs, oh, sorry. Right about, she shoots him in the arm.
Right, come.
And he...
No, he has to get hit.
he basically augers into the dirt and is immediately gone, because there's just a sea of orcs and ogres and whatever. He's just gone. Thank you for joining us for another episode of God's Fall. As usual, we have my DM's notes and maps of the keep the players are desperately defending up on godsfall.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at godsfalldc. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time as the players seek an end to the seemingly endless climb of Barros's Union.
This show was produced and edited by Dead Ghost Productions. Find out more about us and all the shows we make at deadghostpro.com.